Here's the thing. Life is full of those things that can upset us and make us take a nosedive. Life is full of it. But how you look at it is how it works. You know, I think about it all the time. You know, there are things that have come up in my life. There were people would say, oh, that was horrific. That was terrible. Yeah, but I had to learn something from it. Does that make sense? Those things come into our lives because we have to learn something from it. And people say, well, you mean God allows terrible things to happen so we can learn? Yeah. I'm going to say unequivocally, yes. There are things, what we need to know, you go on a job and, you know, let's say you're the best carpenter there's ever been in the world. And you go on a job or something like that. And then all of a sudden something happens. You're injured and you can't do that job anymore. You were good at it when you were doing it, but something happened, huh? Is your whole life going to be wrapped up in not being able to do carpentry anymore? Or is your life going to be wrapped up into a hope that you have Jesus and there's something else over the horizon he's going to help you with? That's just the way it works. That's just the way it works. And I'm talking just now. I'm using a natural example right now. Okay, now let's take it back. Let's say you've been tormented in your mind by things you cannot control. There are devils and spirits in the realm of your mind that are constantly trying to get you to go the wrong way. What have we been talking about? The manifestation of good and evil. And I talked to you about, even if you're a priest or a judge, or whatever in the Bible. Remember Samuel and Aaron and all those people. You say, oh, those are righteous men. Nothing's ever going to go wrong with them. All of them had something go wrong with their children. Every one of them. Aaron, something went wrong with his children. Eli, the priest there with his two sons acted up and the strange fire came out. Okay, his sons went bad. Then you go to Samuel, who's a priest, a prophet, a judge. And his sons go bad. Now, remember, I read to you, I think it was Wednesday night. You know, the children of Israel said, we want a king like everybody else has a king, right? But did you remember what I told you? Something led them to that. Those two sons of Samuel did so bad in judgment in Israel that they told Samuel, you're old, man, and you don't see everything your sons are doing, you know, and you're not, there's things going on you don't know about. We trust you, but we don't trust them. And they started embezzling things from the people, you know, filthy lucre. They desired money and riches and so forth because they were in a position to do that, you know. And the children of Israel came to Samuel and said, look, we want a king like other people have king because your sons aren't doing right. So now we understand because of Samuel's sons was the reason that they asked for a king. It wasn't just them getting a thought saying we want a king like everybody else. It's because they had been done wrong. They had been done wrong. When you're done wrong, it doesn't feel good, does it? You ever have a friend turn on you or have somebody that you thought that knew you and then you hear something comes back from somebody and say, oh, yeah, so-and-so told me that. Really? That's my bud, man. That's my friend. Really? Or what is God revealing to you? The friend is Jesus. He is our friend. That's the thing. People say, well, how can a God like that be your friend? Hey, my best friend is Jesus. That's all there is to it. My brother is Jesus. Didn't he say, I call you brethren? I no longer call you servants. So is he my brother? Yeah, he's my brother. He's the spirit that's in me. He's the spirit of that word. So if he's in me, isn't that closer than, is there a friend that stick closer than a brother? Oh, yeah, by that spirit that's in you, he's going to stick closer. He can be with you in the midst of that trial when you're having trouble. And that's when I tell people, said even young people, you know, they're full of vim and vigor. They say, man, I'm going to go through life. I can do this. I have the ability to. We're all young. You know, we get to at one time and we get to the point where we say, yeah, we're going to be able to do this, 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 and this. And then life comes. Life comes. And he said, I thought always I'd be able to do that. No. It's amazing to me. And so We all need Jesus. I don't care how young you are, how old you are, everybody needs Jesus. Why do we need him? Because he can work things outside of our ability, outside of us. The things that seem that are impossible, he can work that out. I think about people that say, there was somebody, I think it was Sister Lucia that told me about him. You said there's a veteran out there that's 103 years old, huh? Still remembers things from the Second World War, you know, those memories, and 103. But probably some of those memories with things that he did weren't all good. But he can remember being in that war and all the things. People say, well, that's not my life. So I was born in 1990 or 95. That's no big thing for me. Okay, then think about the Afghan War. Think about the war in Afghanistan or Iraq or whatever. That's more recent for you, right? Thinking about things like that. In my case, it was Vietnam. There's still a lot of people that remember things about Vietnam. So everybody goes through their thing. But were all my experiences good experiences? I was telling somebody the other day, back in the 90s, my wife and I went to Washington. And you know that wall, the Vietnam War Memorial? So I have two friends on that wall. I looked them up in the book, and it tells you what section they're in, and you can go look. I have two people I know that are on that wall. That means they are no longer living. They've been memorialized because of a war that they went to, and they are now gone. But it was something to see their names, even though it's weird. You see the name of somebody you know that's there. And I thought about that. I said, but the grace of God, because my name could have been there. Very easily, my name could have been there, but it was theirs. So did I thank God for that? Did I thank God for my blessings? It takes things like that for you to know. So we've been talking about manifestation. Before we even got to that, didn't we talk about being believers? Didn't we talk about forgiving? Didn't we talk about repentance? All of those type of things. And the forgiveness that we have to have. Then we got into manifestation. And in the manifestation, I showed you a lot of manifestation of some good, but a lot of evil, huh? Even from, we talked about the priest's sons and all that stuff. Then we went to the New Testament. We talked about how Peter, out of his same mouth, one time he said a blessing, the next time he said something evil, and Jesus has to look at him and say, get thee behind me, Satan. Called him Satan, right? So what about Paul being Saul, coming after the church, throwing people in prison, hoping they would get killed and stoned and so forth because he didn't think they were worshiping the right God. Remember? So look at what, and then God took him and made him into the greatest apostle of them all. What we say is that it's impossible for people to change when they're that bad. No, it's not. God has proven over and over again, you can take the worst of what you think or what you do, and God can change that and make it better for you. So today, I said, well, we've been talking enough about these manifestations of things that are so evil, you know? Well, let's talk about some good ones here now, some things God says about us. Let's go to Colossians. I want you to see this. I want you to see these things I'm saying today. Actually, I'm not even going to go to that yet. Let me go to something else. What was the word that Claudette used today about overcoming, right? The song says, we're overcomers. You're overcomers because God has manifested something in you. He manifested his grace, his faith in you, so that you can be an overcomer. You didn't do it by you just thinking it and saying that this is what I'm going to do. In fact, some of the situations were so bad, there was no way you could figure out how you were going to take care of it. It was impossible for you to do it. And I'm not talking about here in this physical realm. I'm talking about the spiritual battle that goes on in your world. And you said, how in the world am I ever going to overcome this? Because it's a thought. Have you ever tried not to think about something? Have you ever done that? I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to think about it. What happens? You're thinking about it. I had a psychology professor told me one time, he said, we're going to do a little exercise. And he said, I'm going to tell you something. I want you to not think about it. He said, there's a pink elephant in the room right over there. Don't think about it. What are you thinking about? Everybody in the class, I'm thinking about that pink elephant you just described over in the corner over there. Trying not to think about it, but I can't get the image out of my mind. You planted something there, didn't he? And that's what happens with these evil spirits. Do they plant things in you? And then you think about them, right? Well, what stops God from planting things in you? Luke 8:11 says this, the seed is the word of God. Do you think God can plant things in you? And is it greater? What were you telling me, Jacob? He said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, think about this. When sin is at its greatest in you, when you're messing up big time, do you know that's when the grace of God is in headship? It is the greatest power that you can go into right at that moment. It's just that we don't look for it. We keep going, oh, I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with this other thing here. And it takes your mind off of what God gave you as a promise. Isn't that right, Ceci? Those things will come into your mind, and you're God's standing right there with the power of his grace. Grace is God performing the work. So he's saying, okay, I'll let you. You know, we stand, tap your foot, waiting for you to come to yourself to understand what? He's there. He can do that. The grace of God is apparent. It's right there with you. In the midst of darkness, it's right there with you. And he's saying, I want to help you to overcome. Okay, so let me say this. Remember the seven churches? Ever wonder why there's seven? Why are there seven churches? A couple of reasons. One is, aren't there seven abominations written about in Proverbs? Each one of those abominations are going through those churches. Okay? The angel over the church was weak. It was young. It didn't understand and allowed those things to come in. They were still too immature. So those things came into the churches. What's the church? Those things came into our world, didn't it? So those are the type of things that we have to understand. So the seven churches had seven abominations in them, huh? Abomination is an unclean thing, something God does not want. He doesn't want that in your mind and in your life. That's what an abomination is. The other reason that is seven of them, how many heads were on that dragon in chapter 12 of Revelation? Yeah, let's put it together. Those seven abominations came from those seven heads of that evil dragon, which is Satan, the devil, all of that, right? So that's where it came from. So did he try to infect every one of those churches? And because the angel was weak and didn't have enough understanding, it went into the church. Well, have we had that happen to us? Have we had things coming to us that shouldn't have been there? And why? Because we didn't understand and we were weak. We didn't know Jesus the way we should have. We all go through that, don't we? That's the thing. But let me show you something that he promises here. Let me read this to you. I thought I better do this first because that is such a cool thing. Listen to this. I'm just going to go through. Bear with me. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. If you're born of God, you will overcome the world. What world? You think you're talking about this one out here or this one in here? What's born of God overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So if you have faith, you can overcome the world that's in you. Catch it? So how do you get faith? Are you getting it right now by what I'm saying? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The more gospel you hear, the more you hear the word of God, your faith automatically gets built. It's like gravity. You get on top of this building and jump off, you're going to go up or down? You're going to go down. Gravity works whether you want it to work or not, right? This is like gravity. You hear the word of God and the gospel, you cannot help but have faith built. When the truth comes forth and understanding, your faith will get built every time. So if you're sitting here listening, just what happened today? Your faith is being built. Everyone that hears this truth, this word of God, your faith is being built. Isn't that powerful? Okay, so I don't know if I'm going to get through all of this. This is so cool. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Who overcomes the world? The one that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Wait a minute, you mean it's that simple? It's that simple. I believe there's a Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he resurrected. So I'm an overcomer because I believe that. Isn't it simple? This is very powerful. Now look at the seven churches starting in the second chapter of Revelation. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Tree of life. So when you overcome, God said, there's the tree. Eat, man. Eat all you want, the tree of life. And he's talking about life spiritually in you. Eat all you want. You get to eat of the tree of life because you're an overcomer. God makes it available to you. Isn't that powerful? Here's the next one. He that let hear what the Spirit say to the church. He says it almost every time. But then he says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Well, there was already a death that we died. Dying to the carnal mind, right? But the second death is being cast where death and hell are cast into the lake of fire and all that. You don't have to worry about taking part in that if you're a believer, if you're an overcomer. It's done for you. You don't have to go there. Isn't there in the scripture talking about there's a book that's open? That's where you want to be. And then there are the books where everyone gets judged by the deeds that are done in your life. Which one do you want to be in? I want to be in the book. I want to be in the one book, man. Because all those others, you know why there's so many of the others? Because there's so many people that didn't do what was right. I want to be in the book where I did right. Where I was an overcomer in Jesus. I allowed Jesus to help me to be an overcomer. Okay, so here's the other one. Listen to this. He that hath an ear says the same thing again. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. Is that the word of God? It says hidden manna. So this is what he's saying. I'll open up to you the secrets of God. Things that have been hidden from the foundation of the world, you're going to know them. You're going to know my will. You're going to know the understanding of it. I'm going to open secrets to you. Have we had some secrets open to us already? That's why we're different than other people. That's why we're different from religion. You know, it's just that people, there are things, secrets, God's that opened up to us. And we say, it's not that way. I'm going to tell you one right now. I heard it on the radio coming over here today, listening to Charles Stanley. Jesus, come into my heart. I want you to come from your throne and come down and into my heart, whatever. What if I told you he's already there? And people, they keep saying, Jesus, we're waiting on the second coming of Christ. That's what they're waiting on. What if I told you he's already come? He's here. He's doing what he's doing right now for you. We're not waiting on him to do it. He's here. We need to play that song again, Ma, that, yes, he's here. He's already here. The second coming of Christ has happened, guys. It's whenever you understand, get the understanding of the word, he is in you. And then God lets you know, I've been in you from the beginning. What does it say in John chapter 1? He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Every man. So he was already there. It's just that you didn't understand he was there. You were in so much darkness, you couldn't see him. Isn't that right, Ceci? Couldn't see him. But God said, I'm going to let you know I'm here. So now I'm going to shine a light in the darkness and shine that light on the hidden things of darkness so that you'll understand I'm here. I'm here. I'm already here. I don't have to come from somewhere. I'm in you, but because of the darkness in you, you don't see me. So what I have to do is bring you some light so you can see me. And then you can start believing right now that wherever you need me and whenever you need me for anything, I'm right there. I'm never absent from you. I'm always near you. This is what we have to understand about Jesus. Here's the thing that's cool about that. So the next one. So you won't be hurt of the second death. He that had an ear starts off the same way. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. That's what I started off with. But then it finishes with, and will give him a white stone and in the stone a new name. Do you realize you get a new name when you come to Jesus, when you overcome? Jesus gives you a new name. It's not going to be John Taylor. It's not going to be Ceci. It's not going to be Gotchi. He gives you a new name. He gives you, you know what the white stone symbolizes? It's the sign of the covenant. It's the sealing of it. So he gives you a white stone, and when you get that, he said, now I've given you a new name. And this seals the covenant of that new name. I kind of tell you right here, we're all going to be named. Didn't it say we're the whole family in heaven and earth is named after Jesus, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. But I believe God's going to give us a specific name. Going through what we've gone through, he knows what each one of us has done. And he'll give you a name. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be a spiritual name. Spiritual name. What does Gabriel mean? The angel Gabriel. What does his name mean? Anybody remember? The man of God. Gabriel means the man of God. Wow. Michael. Oh, the warrior, the one that fights for God, huh? He's the one that comes in and fights for you. Anytime the adversary is messing around with you, Michael's going to, when God dispatches an angel, guess who he's dispatching? He's dispatching Michael. And then to say when Michael stands up, uh-oh, devil's in trouble. When he stands up in you, when you are a believer, devil's in trouble, isn't he? Because there's going to be a war. Going to be a quick one, but there's going to be one. He that overcometh, keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Power over the nations. You think he's talking about in this natural world? Or is he talking about the nations that are in your world? Every nation, every authority, everything that set up cities and towns in you, everything that the wicked one has built up, provinces, whatever it may be, he's going to give you power over that, over every part of every nation. That's what he's going to do in you. Look at all these promises here. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And when I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. There's that book out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So he's going to be saying your name, that new name, before his Father and the angels. He said, oh, no, this one's in the book. Father, this one's in the book. This one has made it. This one has over. Wow. Powerful. Here's another one. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of God. You're going to be some of the pillars in the temple of God. Because you overcame. Look at all these different things God's doing for you because you're an overcomer. You're going to be a pillar in the house of God. Whew. I think that's neat. Here's another one. And he shall go out no more, and I will write my name upon. There's that name again. The name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. That'll be written in your heart. He that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne? Have you ever imagined where God is in heaven? It's a big, huge throne, light coming out of it, angels running back and forth singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. There's power, there's light, there's glory, there's thunderings, there's lightnings. All of that just because God's sitting on the throne. So you know what he's going to do? He's going to say, come sit with me in my throne. Who would ever thought, wow, I get to sit on the throne with God. He's going to tell you, you're an overcomer. Since you overcame, come on, come sit with me. Isn't that going to be cool? Come sit with me. That's powerful to me. To sit on the throne of God. These are all these promises to the overcomer. You let the good manifest. You let the Spirit of God manifest, so you became an overcomer. Isn't that cool? Wow. Sit with me at my throne. And he said, as I overcame, like Jesus overcame, he said, I know that you overcame, so that's why I'm going to let you sit there. You'll be able to sit with me. Just the same way I did, you did, so you come sit with me. Thank you, Lord. And then there's another one that says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and you shall be my son. All things. I think about that. Everything that we would need in a spiritual kingdom, we inherited it all. God said, what I have is yours now. What I have as God now belongs to you because you were an overcomer. look at how great God is doing this thing. Here's another one. This is the one I like. Everybody kind of go to this one. Go to Revelation 22, chapter verse 3. I want to show you something here. 22 and 3. Now, this is a promise to all those that are overcomers. And there shall be no more curse. That's good enough for me right now. I've had curses in my life. That is great for me. No more curse. I don't have to worry about ever having a curse working ever again. No more curses. That's how, this is powerful. No more curses. We've had enough of that, huh? There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. Talking about the city. And his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face. Everybody say, I want to see what God looks like. I'm going to see his face. You can't see it like this. You die. But what if you're in the spiritual body you're supposed to be in and you can sit and see the face of God? In other words, you're in his presence. And you don't have to worry about dying. See his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Uh-oh. Here we go. Name of God in my forehead. I love it. Stamp me. give me my name. Give me the name. I want people to know I belong to God. Put the name on me. I love it. So this is what's going to happen. His name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. No darkness at all, Chris. None. No night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Always be light. Always. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. So it's not that much longer, guys. Shortly be done. Now we say, oh, maybe long, 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 long time. Well, what is it to God? What's a million years to God? Drop in the bucket. So we think it's long. But God said, no, it's not going to be that long. Pretty soon you will inherit all of this. You will be there. Shortly, Satan shall be put under your feet. Okay, so let me remind you of something. We're getting close to the end here. Did Jesus say we were the light of the world? He did, didn't he? Did he say he was the light of the world? Yes, he did. So that must mean we are in him who is the light of the world. Catch it? He said, you're the light of the world, but I'm the light of the world. Right? So remember when he prayed the prayer in chapter 17? Father, that we may be one. We are that same light. We partake of the same light that he is. We partake of that. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. So what are we partaking of? The light that's always God. These are promises to overcomers. Shouldn't we try very hard to be an overcomer? Shouldn't we let the manifestation of good and of the holy come forth? With time out for all the evil. We've manifested evil before. We've manifested the hatred and the anger and all of those things, the offense, the pride, all of that stuff, the envy, everything. We've manifested that, huh? Time out for that now. Now the manifestation is of light because God says we are light. So if God tells us we're light, are we light? That's it. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now we have to fulfill that lighting he has given us by following him. Isn't that cool? This is the thing that God wants us to do. What's the other thing it says? I like this one. I'm just going to say it. Psalms 139, 11, and 12. Darkness and light are the same to him. You want to know where it's at? 139, 11, and 12. Darkness and light are the same to God. You know why? He's the creator of it all. So what we consider so dark, guess what God's saying? I see through all that. Yeah, my wife has an expression. You know, when people are phony, when they're phony and they're crying and the mascara is coming down the face, he said, God sees through all that Maybelline. That's what she said. That's one of her expressions. God sees through all that Maybelline crocodile tears, whatever. It's not real. It's phony. God sees through all that, huh? Doesn't he? That's true. We can fool people, but you ain't going to fool God. That's the way it works. So it doesn't work the way you think it's going to work, because God can see all things. Isn't that true? But so darkness and light are the same to him. So when things are real dark around you, real dark, and things seem to be going bad, remember what God said. Oh, that darkness and that light's the same to me. Nothing's hidden from me. So when things are dark, realize to God it's light. I see all things, and I'm here to allow my grace to help you in the midst of that darkness. I've told you this before. God is omnipotent, all power, right? God is omniscient, which means he knows all things. And God is omnipresent. He is everywhere present and nowhere absent. So you say, well, I'm in hell. Yeah, God's there. I'm nowhere absent. I'm everywhere. I'm omnipresent. Well, I'm in hell, Lord. Yeah, but I'm here. So I can get you out. Lord, it's so dark. I have so many bad things happening. It's so dark, I can't see. Yeah, I'm here. Just look. The light. Remember, darkness and light are the same to me. I'm here. You can't see me, but I know where my presence is. Wow. So it's bad, 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 we say. And God said, no, no, it's good, good, good. I'm manifesting good. I am right here. All you got to do is look at me. All you got to do is quit concentrating on the darkness and look at the light. Wow. I've been in a dark tunnel, and what we did, one of the guys had a cigarette lighter. Been in a dark tunnel. I'm talking about overseas when I was in war. Go through a dark tunnel, go through a dark place. One of those guys said, well, I'm up. That one lighter was enough to lead 10, 15 men out where they needed to go. Oh, I just thought of something. John, remember when we were out with James Croom on your boat and it was night? What'd you tell me to do to go up to the bow of the boat? You gave me a light, didn't you? So that you can see to navigate. So I just kept shining that flashlight back and forth so he would know which direction. Because it was, what time did we come in? Like 10 or 11 or midnight or something? And we couldn't see. It was dark out there on the water. And John said, hey, take this flashlight. Can he go to the bow of the boat and start shining? I didn't think that was going to be enough for him to see. He said, no, all you got to do is shine it from side to side, and I can see where these things are coming in, and I can guide the boat over there. You know, we got back safe. Everything was fine. Because he knew how to, you know, the light I shot, just back and forth. I just kept going back and forth, little beacon. And he said, oh, no, there's bulrushes over there. Oh, let's go out this way a little bit more. Oh, that looks like a sandbar. Let's go out this way a little bit. Just from a flashlight. Back and forth. And we made it all the way back to the dock. That's amazing. So it works even here, doesn't it? You have light for things, it will work. But think of this. God is light, so it'll always work. Our problem is that we believe at times that it will not work. And we think it's impossible, but the manifestation of good will always work because it's always God. That's what you got to keep in your mind. Just because you can't see him doesn't mean he's not there. You've been obscured somehow in your sight. Didn't it say that that devil blinds the minds of those that would like to see Jesus? He blinds your thoughts and your mind, doesn't he? Uh-huh. Unless you see the glorious light of the gospel. Doesn't it say that? Wow, here we go. He tries to blind your thoughts. Let's look up. Let's look up and understand that this light, Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. When he left, he said, guess who I'm leaving here? Now, are you the light of the world? Yes. You're the light of the world. You're the light in your world. And you're also a light to a world out here. Because that's why people say, you're kind of funny acting. You're peculiar. Yeah, because I don't do everything you do. And I don't think the way you think. And God has given me some understanding. So that's why I appear peculiar to you. But this is what God is doing. Is he drawing people to the throne of grace? Yes, he is. And I love it. I love seeing it because God's doing it. If God does it, they'll stay. If it's not God, they may wander someplace. But what about if it's God? They'll come and stay. I'm happy. I'm happy because I see God working, Patty. I see him working. Isn't that powerful? To be able to see that. So, we are part of that light. We walk in the light. The overcoming. Look at all those things that I read about overcoming. And you notice it was talking about the churches, so it's been talking about you. What did Dan say you are? Aren't you the saints? Yes, you are. You're the saints of God. What about that Son of Man? Are you the Son of Man? Yes, you are. Some of these terms may be kind of foreign to you, but all you got to do is pick up that phone and call. We'll talk to you. We will explain things to you and give you scripture so you can go back and look at them and let you know that God's been talking to you the whole time. That makes sense? So now we're manifesting what? Light. Good. This is how we should end this thing about manifestation. Let's manifest good. What did Dan tell us the last time he was here? Always try to do good. I'm going to say it this way. Clothe yourself in good. Walk in good. Always choose to do the good and not the evil. Isn't that good? But when evil comes, understand, this may be hard for some of you to understand, God is the one that's stirring up the evil to bring it forth. He's the one doing it. Why? Because he wants you to face it. He doesn't want you to run from it. He doesn't want you to hide. He wants you to face it. And he says, I'm with you. So now when you face it, can we overcome? How can you overcome something if you never face it? You have to face it. People say, oh, no, I don't want to face that. We're scared sometimes, aren't we? God said, don't be. I'm with. Fear not. How many times do you have to tell his disciples that? Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. How many times is that written in the Bible? Fear not. Fear not. I am with you. So he tells them to fear not. I stirred this up. I brought this forth so that you can see it and know that it's not as bad as you think it is, because you're going to see me exercise my power and help you overcome it. Whew. And then you'll say, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was. That's right. That's right. That enemy gets you fooled, doesn't he? One last thing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, doesn't it say that that man of sin, that God is going to destroy him by the manifestation of the words of his mouth and that light? Isn't he going to be destroyed? We think he thinks he's so powerful. He's not. God's going to destroy him. That's a powerful thing. Wasn't Jesus manifested to destroy the works of the devil? But what I like is when he says it about the man of sin that causes us so much trouble, the old man in us. He said, I'm going to destroy him. I'm going to speak my word, and I'm going to let my light shine, and I will destroy him so that he will no longer be a problem to you. People say, that's impossible. No, it isn't. Not with God. God can do it. God can do all things. Does that make sense, guys? Hope you got something out of what I said today. Overcoming, manifesting the good. You don't have to manifest the other. Let's manifest the good because we're wholly given over to God. That make sense? Oh, that's a good thing. Anybody have any questions for me? Anything that you, or a comment you want to make?
I love what you say about we want to be in the book of life.
Right.
Because he's the author and finisher of our faith. Without him, we don't understand darkness. And we focus because we try to see with the naked eye, and we focus on the darkness instead of turning into the light that he is. He lighted every man that came into the world, and I love that.
Yeah, I love it too. You know what it says the light of the body is? Have you ever noticed that? I think it's the 6th or 7th chapter of Matthew. What's the light of the body, guys? It's the eye. It's what you see in God. The light of the body is the eye. What eye? You think he's talking about a natural eye? He's talking about the spiritual eye. What you see in God and understanding, your eyes have been enlightened. The light of the body is the eye, because by that we see God. The spiritual eye. Make sense? very good thing, guys. Go ahead, Seth.
I was going to say, you said it earlier, that's what Satan's trying to blind.
Right.
Is that eye that can see the things of God, that's what Satan's trying to come and blind you from so that you can't see in God and that you can't see in that darkness that you were talking about.
Yeah,
earlier.
And you feel lost. Remember we talked about feeling lost? I hate being in darkness and feeling lost. Has anybody ever had to go through that? Yeah, I don't like it. Don't like it at all. But boy, somebody flick a little light somewhere. Now I'm ready. Okay, I'm going to go that way. Because I know there's some light over there. Isn't that true? That's the way it works, guys. It doesn't even have to be a whole big light. Just a little light. Just for me to know that's the direction I need to go. Isn't that true? I said I was going to start. The candle of the Lord, it searches the inward parts of a man. Why did he say the searchlight of the Lord? No, he said the candle is enough if it's the Spirit of God. Candle of the Lord searches the inward parts of a man. He goes right through all your thoughts, how you think, how you do. He said, I'm going to light him up. Because he, who's to say in Revelation holds that candle? Isn't it Jesus, the candlestick? He's the one that holds it. So he doesn't need no big thing because he is that light. So he just takes the candle and goes through you. Oh, yeah, I see something here. I see something. Candle of the Lord searches the inward parts. Isn't that what he's doing? Let him search. Let him get it. Does that make sense? Let him get it, guys. That's a good thing. We're done.